This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, on this day when we celebrate freedom, we recall St. Paul's words that for freedom Christ has set us free. So may our prayer be that of St. Ignatius. Take, Lord, all our liberty, our memory, our entire will. Give us only your love and your grace, for that is enough for us. Amen. Good morning. And happy Independence Day. As I begin, I want to congratulate Paul and Barbara Wegner because after over a year, they remembered the route to take to get up here. Well done. In today's gospel, Jesus goes home. And he is changed, transformed. But they are not. Well, you know, today, in a sense, is coming home for us. This is the first Sunday with our reduced protocols. This is the first Sunday when we are able to not have our masks on if we've been vaccinated. This is the first Sunday where maybe not so many people are watching us from home, but have chosen after all this time to come back and join us. So I just want to make you feel at home today after 15 months. So I acknowledge that a lot of you, for many Sundays, have been sitting there looking at your iPad or TV screen, and you've had your cup of coffee, maybe your bagel. So welcome home. Welcome home. I do this as a bit of humor, but also because we have to catch a flight right after this sermon today, so I'm ready to go. But there's something about this that I think we need to acknowledge about the celebration of freedom today in our country, but more than that, the celebration of freedom that Jesus calls us to and the transition and transformation that Jesus calls us to, and perhaps after 15 months, we need to think about the opportunities that God gave us and how well or how not so well we have been in taking advantage of those possibilities of transition and transformation that were given to us. There really is a way we look at this that is pure gift. And it would be a crying shame if we just let that go by and didn't at least reflect on it a bit in light of the freedoms that God has given us. Now, you're not going to want to stare at my bony knees for 10 minutes, so we're going to go up here. Remember the pyramid? It ends today. This is that second elbow of the pyramid we've been talking about. It started in Mark chapter 3, where the family of Jesus comes to take him away, because as Mark tells us, they said he was out of his mind. They want to stop him from what he's trying to do. I had a priest that was famous that whenever he began a sermon, he always chose a line from the gospel to begin. And in this particular gospel, we're all in there in chapel, and he said, "And they said he was out of his mind, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Well, that's where it started, but the other elbow is today, and it's the same, isn't it? He comes back home after he's done and said all this stuff, and it is not exactly a warm homecoming, is it? Not at all. Talk about the son of someone. You talked about them as the son of their father, the son of Joseph. They don't say that here, do they? This is the son of Mary. As if to say, and we all know about Mary, don't we? All that story we heard. But this is one that is about the transformation that has occurred. Remember, on this left arm of that pyramid, it was all about those incredible prophetic words that Jesus gave. And then at the pinnacle, the peak, he calms the storm at sea. And then coming down the right arm, there are all of those incredible things that he does. We heard last week about raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, about healing the woman who had the hemorrhages for 12 years. And now he comes back. So I think there's a point Mark wants us to understand. And I think the point is this. This ain't going to be easy. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. Because if we have been transformed, others perhaps have not. And we're not always going to get acceptance for what we're trying to do. This is the first time in this Mark chapter 6 that Jesus sends out his apostles. Up till now, they've been disciples, followers. Now he sends them out as apostles to do what he has done. What kind of training have they had? In Mark's gospel, there's no evidence that, and now Jesus sat down and he gave them a 2-hour lecture on how to cast out demons or anything like that. How did they become disciples and how do they learn? They follow him. That's the meaning of the word disciple. They're with him. They see what he does. They hear what he says. They incorporate and they are transformed. In the first chapter, he chose Peter, Andrew, James, and John. In chapter 2, he chooses Matthew, the tax collector. And then in Mark 3, he chooses the 12. But then all they're doing is just following him. They are learning from the rabbi. They see what the rabbi does so they can do what the rabbi does. It is a transition. I love Eugene Peterson, who wrote that paraphrase of the Gospels and the Bible. And when it comes to part of this passage where Jesus calls the 12 and sends them out, this is what he writes. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointed their bodies, healed their spirits to be transformed. The first thing I think we need to understand, we are the equipment. And the even better news there is that God is in charge. And we don't need to worry about not being ready. It's with a pure heart and pure intentions that we are called to go out to share God's love. Look at what Paul talks about today. In my weakness, power reaches perfection. Why? Because when God works through our weakness, it becomes very clear that it's not about me. It's about the power of God who can do all things within me and without me to make a difference for good, to be transformed in our relationship with God. These 15 months, as difficult as they've been, especially for our community gathering, have given us an opportunity to look inside as to what that relationship with God and with others is all about for us. In a sense, to prioritize what really is important, and then to go ahead and do that and make a difference. I ran across this little quote that I think captures it well. If you think you have all you need for the journey, you're probably not ready. But if you think you don't have all you need for the journey, you are probably ready. The minimums are necessary. The rest is a dependence on God and an open eye. And I would add an open heart. It is this what we have been given. So as we go off and celebrate with our hot dogs and hamburgers and whatever else we do with fireworks, maybe just spend a little minute today at some point, either reflecting or sharing, how has God transformed me through all of this? And if we're aware of it and it hasn't happened yet, how might I open myself up to let God continue that transformation, not only for me, but for others? So, get up and follow Jesus. Be a disciple. Watch, learn, and pray. Go home transformed with, really, regularity. Live your life in such a way that they will say about you, they're out of their minds. To think that love can transform the world, it did in Jesus' day. May it do so again in and through us. Amen.